Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Encouraging you to live as an ambassador of God's kingdom in the world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Carmen LaBurge. It is Tuesday, the 30th of April. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. That means that today
is the last day of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at Paul Perot with a whole calendar right there probably in front of him. Today's the last day. That means tomorrow is May Day, May Day, May Day. I don't really know what we're supposed to do on May Day, but it sure is fun to say. All right, so this is Mornings with Carmen. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. Thank you again. I should just thank you every single day. Thank you again and again and again for your extraordinary support of this ministry. It is listener-supported radio and digital and podcasting and all the resources at myfaithradio.com, and you guys are amazing. You are, you're so generous. You're so faithful, and so thank you for your participation in our Faith Radio Spring fundraiser. I'm still awed and totally encouraged and grateful and thankful. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you missed out and you still want to participate, water's still warm. Great time to jump in. You can donate at myfaithradio.com or you can text the word give to 877-933-2484. Okay, what do you believe? And why do you believe it? Like, do you believe that the sky is blue and that the grass is green? Why? Do you believe that a horse is a horse, of course, and a cow a cow? Why? Do you believe the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? Why? Why do you believe what you believe? What do you believe and why do you believe what you believe? Do you believe that each and every person, every single person, regardless of the color of their skin, the size or the shape of it, the circumstances of their conception, where and when they were born, do you believe that every person is created by God in his image and that God alone is the giver of life? Do you believe that? And if so, why? Do you believe that God is good and that his mercies are new every morning? Why? Do you believe in God? What does that mean, and why do you believe it? Who do you trust to tell you the truth? Because what we believe about the color of the sky or the grass or the direction of, you know, the planets and their courses therein, or what we believe about people and ourselves, somewhere along the way, we trusted someone to tell us the truth about those things, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So who are the truth tellers in your life, and for whom are you committed to being a person of truth? Like, can you be trusted to tell the truth? What happens in a relationship when one person cannot be trusted to tell the truth, to be truthful? So truth is the basis of trust, and trust is the basis of relationships. And so before you can obey God, you have to be able to trust him. So do you trust God? Do you trust God to tell you the truth? And how do you hear God speak the truth to you? And if God is speaking truth, are you listening? All of that leads me to ask, where in the Word are you today? Because if we want to hear from God and we want to hear God who is truth speak truth, then we need to be listening to the sound of his voice. And God has spoken clearly in his Word. Which leads us to today's Growing Your Faith verse of the day in John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is speaking here. Jesus, who, by the way, is the truth, right? So the truth, who is a person, is speaking here. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. That is a great promise from the God who can be trusted to tell you the truth and the God who holds all eternity in his hands. If God, who's the giver of life, the creator and the giver of life, is telling us how we can have eternal life, then shouldn't we trust him to know? And shouldn't we trust him to tell us the truth? The whole truth? Jesus, who is the truth, is speaking here. The truth says, I tell you the truth. So are you listening and do you believe him? Jesus says, those who listen, which means that Jesus knows there are some who don't listen. Those who listen and those who believe in God, which also means Jesus knows there are some who will not believe in God. Those who listen and those who believe in God who sent me have eternal life. So my friend, are you listening? Do you believe that Jesus is telling you the truth? Do you believe that God sent Jesus, and do you believe in God who sent Jesus? If all of this conversation about what we believe and why we believe it is new to you, or maybe you want some clarification on a few things, right now, the Reading the Bible Together podcast at myfaithradio.com, right now, is a series on the fundamentals of the faith. So if you go to myfaithradio.com, you can check out the Reading the Bible Together podcast. And one of the things being discussed in the fundamentals of the faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe. If you want to examine what you believe, and what Christians have said over the course of time about what we believe and why we believe it, check out the Reading the Bible Together podcast right now, the fundamentals of the faith at myfaithradio.com. Now, in just a couple of days, the United States of America is going to take a hard pause for a National Day of Prayer. So we want to be prepared for that. We want to be engaged in that. I've got a PDF to send you that's a National Day of Prayer prayer guide. If you want one, you can just text me 877-933-2484. But up next, my conversation with Kathy Branzell, who heads up the National Day of Prayer Task Force. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Well, it's almost here. The National Day of Prayer is Thursday, the 2nd of May. You can find out all of the information and connect with a National Day of Prayer event near you at nationaldayofprayer.org. Joining us again today, our dear friend, Kathy Branzell, who heads up the task force. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you're in D.C.
Yes.
Tell us what it feels like and give us a little preview of this week's National Day of Prayer.
I'm so excited. You know, scripture tells us in the Psalms, lift up your prayer in the morning and watch expectantly for what God will do. And I have to say, I have an excited, expectant heart, knowing that, of course, we pray every day. We talk about this throughout the year. Thank you for letting me come on and be a part of the faith family and talk with your audience once a month. We pray every day, but there is this spiritual significance to the agreeing prayer, the people coming together in prayer that is going to happen on this National Day of Prayer in your community, in your states, in America, and around the world. I'm so excited.
It is thrilling. So in terms of connecting with an event like, you know, in my own community, what might I expect if I were to show up to a National Day of Prayer event?
You can expect a lot of prayer. So let me just tell you, let me apologize to you. If you grew up in a church or you grew up in a place where they say, let's pray real quick. Mm. Let's pray real quick. Those are horrible words because that says, let me delete some power out of your life. We don't pray real quick. And so you need to know these aren't going to be a bunch of people, or shouldn't be a bunch of people talking, preaching, speaking, preaching, telling stories. There should be a whole lot of prayer. Because remember last year's theme, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Remember that much is the same word that God uses to describe his glory and his mercy and our reward in heaven. So there's nothing that we could say or do that's going to avail more than praying. So you can expect a lot of prayer. You can expect great fellowship. You can expect the power of God right there in that assembly. I pray that you meet new people. You may see some government officials. You might see all sorts of different people of influence. That's awesome. We are grateful for every single one of our prayers. But remember, we have an audience of one. No matter what, don't get distracted by who is or isn't there. Remember, you are there to meet in the throne room of heaven with God, to talk to him about how awesome and wonderful he is, to be reminded he is your light, and to ask him his presence, his power, his word, will, and way be done on earth, in your family, in your community, in America, and around the world as it is in heaven.
This year's National Day of Prayer theme verse is Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World, from 2 Samuel 22. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. 2 Samuel 22, 29 to 31. We're talking with Kathy Branzell. She heads up the National Day of Prayer Task Force. Again, you can connect with an event near you at nationaldayofprayer.org. The National Day of Prayer is this Thursday, the 2nd of May. Kathy, the darkness that I might be experiencing in my home or my family, my neighborhood, my community, my little patch of the world might be different than the darkness that somebody else is experiencing. Talk with us about the need for Christians to be awake, alert, on guard, pressing in, being light.
Absolutely. We know that the devil is on the move, right? He knows his time is short. And everybody's got something to pray about. Everybody's got something to hand over to the Lord and then say, Lord, what do you require of me? And I just keep being reminded by the Lord that every time, if I've got time to complain about it, I have time to pray about it. And yesterday, God dropped into my heart, reminding me I'm everybody's, let me slow down and say that. I am everybody's intercessor and nobody's judge. Everybody's intercessor, nobody's judge. And so where you have been watching things on the news, or something's been happening right there in your neighborhood, maybe it's something with your HOA, maybe it's something within your family, whatever it is, pray God's presence into it. Pray God's will be done in it. Pray for whoever you might be arguing with to hear from God. And if they don't know him, remember, the darkness is going to act like darkness. We can't expect any differently. And so pray that the eyes of their hearts would be open. Pray that they would have dreams and Jesus would speak to them. Pray, 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 because love wins every time. And so remember that as we get stirred up, as we get angry, as we catch ourselves getting judgmental and trying to scoot God off the throne, the Ancient of Days says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And we've got some heavy laden hearts today. And so take them to Jesus.
That's so good. What is weighing you down? What's grieving your heart? What's turning your stomach? What maybe has you feeling depressed or defeated? Where do things feel dark? Those are the places where we want to invite God to show up and shine forth and get some glory. And so let's be praying for God to intervene, for God to press in, for God to be revealed, because that's ultimately the only power that brings about heart change. And so whatever that is right now, I just want you to invite up a word, invite you to pray into that right now. We're going to take a very brief break. When we get back, we're going to continue our conversation with Kathy Brenzel from the National Day of Prayer Task Force. But in the meantime, like, lift up a prayer for God's presence to press in on whatever is pressing in upon you. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
Ann texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Ann has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Ann will hear your story and be encouraged as well.
Continuing our conversation with Kathy Brenzel from the National Day of Prayer Task Force, you can find resources and connect with an event this coming Thursday near you at nationaldayofprayer.org. Can we talk for a minute, Kathy, about the postures of prayer? One of the things that you shared with me in terms of how you're feeling right now is that you're just approaching this with hands wide open.
Yes.
Sometimes we pray like, you know, holding onto our own hand, right? We're clutching our own hand. Hands wide open seems like, you know, I'm presenting something to the Lord, but I'm also in a receptive posture.
Right. Yeah. So many different ways to pray. I love that. Remember, we have a personal relationship with God. And so I don't talk to my spouse. I don't talk to you, Carmen, my friends, when we're at dinner together. You don't see me stay in one position. We talk with our hands as part of our body language. And that's true for prayer. And there may be times that I have my hands folded, that I'm in some sort of posture of reverent solemnness, that there's a solemn sacredness in that moment. Right now, I do. I have my hands wide open and lifted up, just like picture a child handing something to their father. You know, look what I did. And, you know, maybe it's one of those pictures you put on the fridge and people go, what is that? And you go, I have no idea, but it's beautiful to me. You know, that I give God my mess. And I'm just like, here, Lord, here. And he makes it something beautiful. And I am so grateful that he has already planned the good works. He's already planned the prayer gatherings. He's already there. Right? That he's given us everything. Scripture says everything we need to live a godly life. But I come back and meet that in response with excellence and diligence and brotherly love. There's a loving response back to all that God has done, not to earn it, but to say, I love you back. And I walk into this National Day of Prayer just saying, Abba, Father, glorify yourself in every prayer across this nation and around the world. Glorify yourself. I'm yours. And I know that he's going to do something beautiful, something exceedingly and abundantly beyond and above anything I ever asked or imagined, right? Because I've given it to him.
It's so good. When you think about the way that you're inviting people into the National Day of Prayer this year. I know recently you've invited us to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
Talk about those. What does that mean to take up the shield of faith and to take up the sword of the Spirit as we enter together into prayer for the country?
Yeah. So again, that should sound familiar, or hopefully sounds familiar to you, with the armor of God. And so we armor up with, you know, the helmet of salvation and shod our feet with peace. And we put on that breastplate of righteousness we talked about last year. And on we get on the full armor, and then we pick up our shield of faith, that shield that goes before us that we use to lock shields with other people in battle to keep those fiery arrows from reaching their mark. We go forth in faith. We pray in faith. We walk in faith, not by sight. And then we pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you don't know what to say, if you don't know what to pray, and especially if you want your prayers answered, you need to pray in the word and the will of God. His word does not return void. And so you pick up the sword of the Spirit, you pick up his word, and you run into battle with it, because every precept takes you down the right path and the righteous path. And every promise is yes and amen. If you want to make sure that your footing is secure, it's stable, it's sure, then you walk down that path of the word of God. It's a lamp to your feet, right? A light to your path. And then we pray, because prayer, as Priscilla Shire teaches us, prayer activates the armor. Otherwise, we're just playing dress up, right? If you just, you could put on anything, it's not going to matter if you don't pray. Prayer brings the power.
Okay, I am taking notes, because I could put on the armor of God and I could just be playing dress up.
Right.
Until I pray, it's not really activated. That is, that's some deep water.
Yeah, I'll just say, so you'll remember it. Here's a post-it note moment. If I'm not praying, I'm just playing. Right? You're just playing dress up. If you're not praying, you're just playing, because prayer activates that armor. Prayer brings the power. Prayers, you know, puts you in a position of listening to your commanding officer, the commander of angel, you know, of heaven's army, the angels' armies. And so prayer says, reporting for duty, Lord, what would you have me do?
That's so good. All right, we're going to invite everybody to report for duty, not only this week, but every day. This is the week of the National Day of Prayer. So if you've never set aside time to pray for the country, let me encourage you this week to do that. We're going to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth right now in the context where we live. We are dual citizens of the kingdom of heaven and of a particular kingdom of this earth. And so we're supposed to be praying for those in leadership. We're supposed to be praying for the cities in which we live and the community of which we are a part. And so we're going to invite you in to be praying for the nation during this National Day of Prayer. Kathy, would you lead us in a prayer today? And pray as long as you want, because, you know, this isn't about... you know, this isn't about praying at the beginning of the end of a meeting or just, you know, praying quick. This is about praying.
Right. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are our lamp. You do light our darkness, and you've called us to be light in the darkness. Lord, we pray right now. Holy Spirit, fan the flame of our heart. And we know from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, the mouth prays. The mouth encourages one another while it's still today. Iron sharpens iron. Lord, I pray as people come together across the United States and even around the world tonight, Lord, I pray that we would sharpen one another with the word of God, that the sword of the Spirit would be that which we speak over one another, that we pray for one another, Lord, that we walk in, that we would ask you, what does love require? We are reporting for duty. We do not live in the dominion of darkness. You have pulled us out of it. Remind us that the darkness isn't winning, that Satan is not an equal enemy of you, but he is a fallen angel. Jesus, thank you for coming and saving us. It's astounding to us that you would come and redeem us as humans, yet not the angels who have deceived. Lord, we are not under Satan's power, but his head is under your heel. And so remind us of our power in you, that you have taken us into the kingdom of light, that we are the light, that by you we can do anything that you call us to do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that you call us to. We can run against a troop. We can leap over a wall. We can finish the race. We can pray that prodigal home. We can love that neighbor who hates us. We can forgive that person who has hurt us. Lord, I pray during this National Day of Prayer that grudges would be ground into grace. For you, Lord, your way is perfect. And so keep us on your perfect path. Your word proves true. Lord, stomp doubt out of our, draw it out of our lives, our heads, our thoughts. Pull doubt out of us and fill us with the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine and your word, every word God breathed, proves true. And that you are our shield. We don't go into battle alone. We don't go into battle under human power, but we are prayed up. And you are the shield that goes before us for all who take refuge in you. You, God, are our refuge and our strength. Lord, thank you for blessing America as we praise and bless you in the mighty, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's Kathy Branzell. You can connect with a National Day of Prayer event near you or with one happening nationwide at nationaldayofprayer.org. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. The National Day of Prayer is on 5-2. So what is 5-2 day? So May the 2nd is 5-2. And so the Come and See Foundation is capitalizing on, well, I don't know. What do we learn about fishes and loaves, loaves and fishes? Do you remember the 5 and the 2? We're going to talk with Stan Jantz from the Come and See Foundation about the miracle of God's provision. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the miracle of God's provision and how God takes what we offer and he multiplies it to magnify his glory, to extend his grace to more and more people. But how will people believe if they do not hear and if they do not see? And who is going to show and tell them? Come and see. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, after hearing of the beheading of his precious cousin, who we know as John the Baptist, Scripture says that Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. But hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot. And so, you know, they made their way by foot to a solitary place. And so we are far removed now from a town. When Jesus landed, he saw the large crowd and he had compassion on them, even in the midst of his own grief. And he spent the day healing their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came and said, "This is a remote place. It's getting very late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5-2, they answered. "Bring them to me," Jesus said. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people, and everyone ate and was satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate, about 5,000 men. So something like 9,000, including the women and the children. And let's note, there were leftovers. Let's talk with. Let's talk about 5-2, 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5-2 is coming up May the 2nd, 5-2 day. Stan Jantz is here from the Come and See Foundation. Welcome, Stan.
Thank you, Carmen. It's great to be with you.
So Jesus takes, you know, what we see as not enough, 5-2, and he multiplies it to feed those who are hungry. Talk with us about how you guys are capitalizing on Thursday, May the 2nd, for The Chosen.
Well, of course, The Chosen, that particular scene is remarkable. And it's something that I think people who have seen The Chosen, it's in your memory. You're seeing this vivid picture of Jesus distributing this supply of loaves and fishes. And yes, 5-2 day on May 2nd is really all about bringing what we have and letting Jesus multiply. I love that little ad you had from Greg Laurie right before this. And he said, God is not looking for your ability, your availability. And I think part of that is to bring him what we have. And we see that in The Chosen, that people who had very little yet brought what they had, in this case, a boy, and the disciples were worried, how are we going to feed these people? They've been here all day. You know, they're hungry. They're getting restless. And that's when Jesus then does that wonderful, wonderful miracle of multiplication. And I think the lesson for us, and as we see it, whether it's in The Chosen, and you read so beautifully in Scripture, is that God just wants us to bring what we have and let him do the rest.
So I think about even the way The Chosen has been funded by crowdfunding, you know, everybody bringing what they could, and The Chosen being produced season by season through those gifts. And now what you are seeking to do is multiply that beyond an English-speaking audience. You're seeking, through the Come and See Foundation, to multiply The Chosen and offer it in languages around the world. Talk a little bit with us about the vision of the Come and See Foundation, and then we'll talk about the translation work and the impact.
Let me give you a quick story, Carmen, about Multiply. We receive donations that come in the mail. They come through, you know, online, and it's heartening to see. We've had over 100,000 people donate to Come and See in support of The Chosen and what we're doing, as you said, through translation and through distribution. But let me tell you one quick story about that kind of illustrates your point. We got a letter, and inside was a kind of a crumpled $20 bill and a handwritten letter from a 10-year-old boy by the name of Diego. And Diego was sending his $20. He says, I watch The Chosen, but my dad cannot understand it because he only speaks Portuguese. And I want you to use my $20 to help translate The Chosen into Portuguese. It was heartwarming. I mean, for us to sit there and look at this, and of course, we have a translation plan in place, as you have said. But this is what, to us, is what it's all about, is here's this boy who decided he wanted to do something for his dad. And I'll just give you the result of that, is that, yes, the Come and See Foundation is working to translate The Chosen into 600 languages. And through those 600 languages, 95% of the world will be able to experience The Chosen in their own language. They'll understand it. And what happened that in about a month ago, I was privileged to go down to São Paulo, Brazil, and to participate in the premiere of season 4 in Brazil, season 4 of The Chosen. And guess what? We translated it into Portuguese, and it was dubbed in Portuguese. And I got to tell you, there were thousands of people who came. They love The Chosen in Brazil, and they were so delighted that they could experience it in Brazilian Portuguese. And so that's what we're doing. It's people like Diego and others that have stepped in with huge, you know, donations to be able to facilitate that. And the translation efforts are not easy. I mean, you're talking about eventually a 50 episodes, more than 50 episodes. Through 7 seasons and multiple characters. So our goal and our mission is to do that translation to make sure that people can understand it. And when you see it firsthand in a place like Brazil and others, it makes you understand why that's so important. It's kind of a phrase that we use called that translation does, and it's really speak to the heart. And you hear sometimes this phrase, Carmen, heart language, you know, the language that you learned as a child. And when you have someone communicate to you personally in that language, or you see something like in this case on the screen of The Chosen, it just does something for you. And so that's what we're doing. And we're up to 50 right now for seasons 1 through 3, and now working on season 4 as it's now releasing. And so it's a big task, because when you translate, you also have to get it right in that language. And I can talk about that in just a minute, but just to let you know, Diego, we did it. We put the Chosen in Portuguese.
I just love that. And I hope that we get to hear, you know, down the road somewhere, I hope we get to hear,
you know, Diego somewhere in some space tell that story. That is so sweet. We're talking with Stan Jantz, CEO of the Come and See Foundation. You can visit with them online at comeandseefoundation.org. We're talking about making The Chosen, which you already love. We're talking about making it available to people around the world in their heart language. And so ultimately translating The Chosen into 600 languages, ensuring that, again, the message of the gospel, the person of Jesus, is able to reach in this generation, not just through the printed word on a page, but through the media that people are now receiving, which is visual and image rich. So it'll reach 95% of the world through these 600 translations of The Chosen. It's really quite an undertaking and a God-sized project for sure. Stan, tell us the story of what is happening in Madagascar, because that would be a place where English is not the language of the heart, but it is a place where The Chosen is now available.
You bet. And by the way, when you do these language translations, there's a priority. You know, you want to hit the big languages first. Of course, Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese. Brazil has 220 million people. That's a huge language. Madagascar, which is an island nation off the coast of Africa, has about 25 million people. It's not insignificant, but, you know, about a tenth the population of Brazil. And there's a language that is there called Malagasy. It's kind of a French derivative. At one time, Madagascar was a French colony. And so this is the language they speak. It's also the sixth poorest country in the world. And so needless to say, there have not been many, if any, TV shows that have been translated into Malagasy. But we got a call last year from the president of Madagascar, who is a believer. And he very much wanted The Chosen to be translated and shown in his country, so it had to be translated and dubbed into the language of Malagasy. Not a priority in terms of one of the top 50, probably not even the top 100, but it was certainly important because of this particular need that the president expressed. So we work with an organization that we partner with called Jesus.net, and the founders of that are actually French, and so they helped us with that. And to do dubbing, of course, you need voice actors. You need people who can actually read the lines and then do it in that language and do it to match up with the lip syncing of the original action, which is in English. And so we facilitated that, and it was done. The first version, the president said, well, you could do it a little bit better. We didn't quite catch the nuance. And again, these were amateur. They were not professional voice actors. So we went back and did it again. And I tell you, Carmen, it was remarkable. Some of our team, I didn't get to go, but some of our team went to Madagascar when they had their own version of a premiere, which is basically showing it in a prison, an orphanage. Like, as you would imagine, not a lot of people have televisions. There's not even electricity in many places of Madagascar. But they were able to show The Chosen in some of these public places. And they put it on a truck with a big LED screen on it and have been taking it into the villages. And the response that we're getting from those folks is just remarkable. People who are coming to Jesus, and they're being follow-up. And amazingly, we partner with another organization called Outreach, which you probably know, Outreach Magazine. And so they have Sermon Central as one of their resources. And there are about 80 pastors in Madagascar. And so we were able to get resources to them, you know, notes for the episodes translated into Malagasy. And it's just been remarkable to see what God is doing in this island that's pretty much neglected in the media world by major media companies, because it's not a big enough market. And people are just not obviously in the income position where they could actually buy stuff, you know, that's being advertised. So, but here we go to bring this to this nation. And it was just remarkable to see how God outpoured through those efforts really to reach people in a profound way. And it's still going on, by the way. They're still showing it in some of these villages. I like to say, Carmen, that the Chosen, because it is really presenting the gospel, it appeals from the Vatican to the village. And what I mean by Vatican is literally a Vatican. I was told, I was speaking at an event last year where there were a number of Catholic leaders, and one of them came up to me and says, the Vatican is watching. And in fact, there's a special on Amazon called Jonathan and Jesus, and it concerns Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus. And there is they do have an audience with the Pope. And so we were told that they're watching it, and they like it. Brazil, as you know, is majority Catholic in terms of its faith, and but they embraced it in amazing ways. And so here we have it. It's in the highest places in the palaces, but it's also in the lowest places, the villages of Madagascar. And we're just thrilled to be able to bring this. And it's also being shown in prisons. Prison Fellowship we've partnered with, and they've been showing it in 300 prisons in the U.S. So maybe another way to say it, Carmen, is from the palace to the prison, right? The president of Madagascar to the prisons. And it's a story because it's a story of Jesus. It's the story of the gospel, his work to come to this earth in human form and to be that redemptive agent, that redemptive person that God used to redeem a wrecked and ruined world and bring people to himself. And it's when we identify with this person, the Son of God, who came to seek and save the lost, that we really come to face with our own need for a savior and then to embrace him as our savior. It's just wonderful. And I'm thrilled that we can talk about it, that you can do your part in broadcasting. And as you said, we live in a visual age. And so to have this story told in such a beautiful way, I think is exactly what the world needs.
I don't know if tears are coming to your eyes as you listen to Stan Jantz from the Come and See Foundation share with us what God is doing. So we're gonna pray God's continued favor and blessing upon this project. We're also going to pray a hedge of protection around it because Satan surely hates what is happening here and is probably right now looking for every entry point possible to disrupt this profound work of God in this generation. We're going to continue our conversation with Stan Jantz in just a moment. If you've got a particular question you'd like to hear him answer, share it with me on the text line, 877-933-2484. As we're thinking about the people of the world and how everyone, regardless of their language, regardless of how overlooked they might be in terms of the importance of their country geopolitically, God has the whole world in mind. God wants everyone to know the good news of the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. God wants each and every person to come and see and ultimately to follow. And so let's be praying for this advance of the gospel in our generation, and we'll continue to learn more from Stan in just a moment. But again, if you've got a particular country you're interested in that God's really set on your heart, put that on the text line as well, 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. As we consider the life of Jesus and the life of the first generation of Christians, reading here the book of Acts and all the letters to the Christians in the New Testament, we see people who like wake up. They come to see and understand and then receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And it changes everything. We see Christians then telling other people about the good news and inviting them to respond in repentance, be baptized, and follow Jesus. The movement of Christianity grows person by person and then exponentially as people walking in darkness receive the light of Christ and want others to know what they know and have what they have. Well, you and I are living in dark days. People need light. And Jesus is the light of the world today in the same way that he was the light of the world at the beginning of creation and at the first Christmas and throughout his life on earth and in his radiance now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the light of the world. So if you're walking in darkness of any kind today, I invite you to consider Jesus. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224. Continuing our conversation with Stan Jantz from the Come and See Foundation, you can check it out at comeandseefoundation.org. All right, Stan, one more story. What's on your heart? What do you want to make sure we know about 5-2 Day?
Well, I would say you mentioned prayer, Carmen, and prayer is absolutely vital to the work of Come and See, as well as The Chosen. The production is going on right now for season 5. Season 5 goes from the triumphal entry to the kiss that betrayed Jesus. It's very intense. So pray for the producers, for Dallas Jenkins. And if you want to join the Come and See prayer crew, you can go to our website, comeandseefoundation.org, And just at the very top, you'll see the word prayer, and you can sign up and opt in to receive notices and things that you can be praying for. And it's the Chosen production. They value this, and they really do want us to know and want you to know, your listeners to know, how valuable prayer is. So God multiplies our prayer. The simple prayers of righteous people can avail much, as the book of James tells us. And so I would just encourage people to go there and to participate that way. So, you know, you can certainly give, love that, but pray, I think, is one of the most important, if not the most important thing that people can do. And you'll see the results, and you'll see it, what's happening, and the stories that we're hearing coming out of the production are amazing. There's transformed lives happening, even in the production itself, and those actors that are part of it. I mean, you can't help but be a part of something, this greatest story ever told, and to know that this is affecting everybody from Madagascar to the people who are producing the show itself.
Let's pray. Father, you're so amazing, and we're so grateful. Thank you for communicating with us in our heart language. Thank you for sending your very heart in the person of Jesus. Thank you for coming to us and helping us see. And now thank you, Father, for entrusting to this generation the opportunity to genuinely reach the world and every person in it through digital technology, through visual media. Bless the work of the Come and See Foundation. Father, open pathways, bring down any opposition. Father, guard the hearts and minds of each person involved, provide for these translations, and then provide, Father, for access into every space and place where you know there is a person who does not yet know Jesus. Father, thank you for Stan. Thank you for the work of the Come and See Foundation. Thank you for those who are working on the production of The Chosen. Protect them, guide them, strengthen them, all to your glory and the advance of the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stan, thank you, brother, so very much.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for that.
Likewise.
Appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, you guys, comeandseefoundation.org. Join the prayer, the prayer crew as a part of that as well. All right, we are just about out of time during this hour of Mornings with Carmen, but we do have another hour together up next. And so hit me up on the text line. How can I be praying for you? Is there a particular person or country? You guys were so good to offer up, you know, the very first person that came to mind when we asked about prayer yesterday, but you might not have been here when we did that. And so if you have a person that's just really heavy on your heart, I want to know who that is. You can just even just share their first name and maybe one line about the concern, the way that we can be praying for them. We are a praying community. And here at Faith Radio, we pray for you by name. We pray for the concerns that you raise before us. And we do so collectively as a staff here at Faith Radio. So we really are a praying people, and we want to be praying for you. So 877-933-2484. What is at the top of your prayer list today? When we come back at the top of the next hour, we're going to be talking about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What does it mean to be a person of peace? So when we send out missionaries, we encourage them to find a person of peace in the community where they're going. If somebody came to your community looking for a person of peace, would they find you? That's up next on Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.